Get ready to rock out with your talk out. It's the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Guys, welcome back to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Back at you once again. We know how much you missed our little potty mouths. Oh, yes.
Damn it.
Yes, and we're not going to clean it up either. So trigger warning right now. Your trigger is wet and juicy, you just better get ready because that trigger going to get licked all night.
Hell.
You're going to love it.
My potty mouth.
You're going to be triggered all night long.
Yeah.
We have a great show. We're going to be talking about the classic era of Pittsburgh music. There's a lot of Pittsburgh music, a lot of artists from Pittsburgh you probably don't even realize are from Pittsburgh. We're going to do a little overview, and then we're going to hit into some of the ones that we kind of feel are the sort of more heavy hitters, real sure. legendary guys yeah. of rock and roll. And we're going to have a good time talking about that, of course. So stick around, guys. We're going to have fun. It is Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Go to LudiniRockandRollCircus.com to get all your Ludini needs met. And we know that your Ludini needs are deep yeah. and many and vast yes. and require constant stimulation. Oh, that's why you want to go to LudiniRockandRollCircus.com. And check out everything we got because there is a lot to feast your little ears upon. RockRageRadio.com. Download the free app.
How much does it cost?
Oh, my God. You know what? I just...
Lou, I'm confused.
I really, you know...
$9.95? Yes. Would you pay $9.95 for this?
Let me tell you right now.
Yeah?
Let me tell you right now.
Sure.
It's out of most of your price... most of Yin's price range.
Yeah, Nat.
Keeping... It's totally free. What? I know most Yin's can't afford that.
Wow. Fantabulous.
And Mr. Pittsburgh is in the house tonight.
Oh, yeah.
But go to RockRageRadio.com. Download the free app. It's great music programming 24/7. Lily V6, our sister from Another Mista, has her own show on there. Hot Licks with Lily 6 on Thursday at 6 p.m. She is under the weather this week, so she is not here.
It's her turn to be
sick. It's been tough to get everybody together.
I know. And I wanted to dispel the rumor right now that Lily V6 and I are the same person. That you can't you never see us in the same room together.
There is some truth.
It's not. No, sure, shit is not.
There is some truth.
There's no truth to that, Kay.
Okay.
She's much better looking than I am. That's all I got to say.
All right. But anyways, Mr. Pittsburgh is in the house.
Hey.
RockRageRadio.com. Download the free app. And please don't forget to check out some of our other friends like Wolf's Customs, Wolfie.online for custom artwork done on any musical instruments. Bill Damiano from Build the Scene. Check out buildthescene.com for a great, there's some great local podcast programming for you right there. But he said, Lou, I need you to record something in a Yinzer voice for me. So he sent it to me. I have to record. I haven't had a chance to do it yet.
Oh, my gosh. That's awesome.
I'm going to get that done for you.
Nice.
He's doing something. And he sent me Yinzer what he wants voice. Me to... Wants. I could...
You can do it. Yinzer are from Pittsburgh and that.
You know what? I'll do it right now.
Okay. You get a...
Do you like fish and crack? That's Bill likes fish and crack. I mean, I wasn't supposed to tell anybody that.
Our dirty little secret.
It's our dirty little secret.
All right, then.
But,
it over.
Okay. All right. Okay, I think this is what he wants me to say.
Okay.
Well, welcome to Build the Scene and it's Get Out of Town, where we play tracks from outside the borders at a 412. Let me I think I can get that better.
You can do better. I could do that better. I could do better.
Me. This is for my good friend Bill Damian asked me to record this.
Welcome to Build the Scene. He wants you to do it out loud, though.
I'm going to. I'm working on it, brother. Welcome to... What, ring right here. Welcome to Build... Welcome to...
welcome to Build the Scene, and that's Get Out of Town, where we play tracks from outside the borders of the 412.
All right.
All right. Then. I don't know. I think that that script needs a little work.
Maybe.
I think it should be welcome to Build the Scene.
Right.
Build the Scenes, Get Out of Town,
mm-hmm.
where we play tracks from outside the borders of the 412, and that. I think the inat is in the wrong. I think Bill grammatically your Pittsburgh ease needs tweaked.
Yeah, just a little.
Welcome to Build the Scenes, Get Out of Town, where we play tracks from outside the borders of the 412 in that.
Beautiful.
Not bad.
Nice.
Not bad.
Nice.
Not bad. I can splice that out of there. See? And give that to Mr. Bill.
Folks, you just witnessed a professional.
I'll give that to Mr. Bill.
Yeah, I like it.
Mr. Bill.
Oh,
no. Let's put Mr. Bill in the microwave. Okay, do not put Mr. Bill in the microwave. We love Mr. Bill. No. So, anyways,
wow.
We're having a good time. It's Lou Dini Rock and Roll Circus. We're back at you. We are live on Rock Rage Radio. So check that. Come and say hey.
Hey.
Right now, for some reason, I'm not seeing anybody's comments. I don't know what's going on.
Well, I've got you up on my phone.
Who shared? Did you share?
I don't think I did.
So this said there's one share.
There is only one share. If I could turn back time. Why is that Kermit? Sounded like Kermit.
Sonny and Kermit.
If I could turn back time. That's not right. Forget it. Anyway. But if you comment, I will watch. I will keep an eye on
him. We're keeping an eye on him.
Yeah.
So we're going to be getting into some Pittsburgh music. But before we do that, we like to sort of catch up on what we did.
Sure.
Did you have anything that you did watch during the new or ill while you were convalescing? Did you watch any movies or?
Well, very. I don't know if you can tell this. I'm very upset.
Okay.
Very, very upset, Lou.
Speak to me, sweet pea.
I don't know if you saw on TikTok, but I guess over in the Netherlands somewhere, somebody hosted a Willy Wonka total immersive event. Have you seen that?
No, I have not.
It was a fiasco. It was horrible. Parents bought the ticket to take their kids to this total immersive Willy Wonka immersive event, and they get there, and it's in a warehouse. There's a couple of props.
Was it really?
There's hardly any chocolate. There are weird characters. There's the world's tallest Oompa Loompas, right? And to the point where the parents were so upset, they called the police. And they ended up shutting down the event, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so that being said, I had a similar experience.
So you attended this?
No.
Okay.
No. I had a similar experience here in Pittsburgh. And I responded to the Van Halen total immersive experience. I was so excited. You know I love Van Halen. Love Van Halen. Well, it turns out it was in a warehouse down in Strip District. Now, again there, okay? Oh, Lou, listen to what it was. All it was, a bunch of cigarette butts on the floor, a couple of empty Jack Daniels bottles. There was some big fat guy in spandex with a blonde wig. Couldn't even lift his leg up. It was terrible, Lou. I just felt so ripped off. There's some girls' panties, but I think they belong to the guy in the spandex. So I walked over to the speaker cabinets. You know, Cavs had no speakers in them and that. Didn't even say Marshall. It said Penny Marshall. It's Penny Marshall stacks. It was terrible, Lou. No idea. I called police. They say, well.
Did they come and sing Every Breath You Take?
They did. The police came over saying every. I felt better about that. I got the total police immersion, experience. And thanks for posting my bail. But anyway, so I totally feel. I understand what happened to those Willy Wonka people. Now, convalescing. Once a year, I watch. Hey, Lou. Yinz know me, right?
I know you,
Yinz
right?
Know me, right? I was in the Army, okay? So once a year, I unpack my Band of Brothers DVD set and start watching it. And that's I've been doing that. That's as I was convalescing.
Band of Brothers,
yes. The HBO miniseries there, special, whatever you want to call it. But yeah, it brings back some really good memories. Me killing Nazis. When I was killing Nazis in 1983, it was a lot of fun. I had a good time. But yeah. Band, no brothers. Ludini's typing it in, but he likes to make me proofread. But anyway, so that's what's been going on. Had the Van Halen total immersion experience.
You know, you mentioned Willy Wonka.
Yes, I did.
And this, you know,
chocolate dream.
90%, a good bit of stuff on TikTok is fake.
No, well, hey.
AI, you know, there's these things, these stunts and stuff that people do, and you're going like, no.
You mean all the girls who are like texting me, they're not real?
I'm not even talking about that. I'm just talking about, I think some of the videos are I mean, some of the stuff too, like where people like do and say crazy stuff, and then you have to go like, well, wait a minute. Why were you video recording this?
Are you filming this?
We're not filming. Please stop saying filming. You're not filming.
I'm from the 80s.
Nobody's filming anything.
I'm filming shit now.
I always drives me crazy when somebody says, stop filming me. I'm not filming you. There's no film.
I don't know. It's not even film. Video. There's no video in the what would you call it? Why are you digitizing
video recording. It's video recording. But it's like, so, you know, this is like fake. But I saw and it has to be fake. It absolutely has to be. That said, did you know that Willy Wonka was based on a real person?
Oh, I didn't see the whole video.
And I watched, and supposedly he did have a chocolate waterfall, and what happened was the dude was he was like a serial killer, and they had finally opened
it's true.
Opened his thing, his factory or whatever. They did find like all kind of bodies buried. I don't know.
That one might.
I never heard that. First of all, I'm a big fan of the Willy. I grew up with that. I love that. I've seen tons of like film retrospectives on it, and all kind of like, you know.
Never heard that.
The book compared to the movie, kind of like analyses and stuff. I'm a big. I love shit like that.
Sure.
I never ever heard anything that was.
We would have heard it.
Yeah, that just really sounded off. Maybe I'm wrong, but I never heard of it.
Yeah, I don't think that's true.
So.
I don't think that's true at all.
Yeah. Speaking of Van Halen.
Yes.
Mr. Pittsburgh and I, before we started today, we were watching the Van Halen live in Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
It's on YouTube. It just popped up a few days ago.
Yeah.
I posted it in the group, trying to get a little conversation started about it. I mean, Van Halen, I mean, they're fucking legends. But man, there's something about this that just seems off.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, David Lee Roth, I don't know what I don't know what he's doing. Is he like doing like a caricature of or a parody of himself?
What I said. I'm like, Van, it's David Lee Roth doing an impression of David Lee Roth, and they're not a good one.
I don't know what's going on there. And even the rest of the band at times seems a little
sluggish.
I don't know what's going on. Eddie is fucking Eddie. He's a god.
Yeah.
And Eddie's Eddie.
Yes.
It just didn't. It was weird to me. I mean, maybe I'm crazy. I know when I shared it, some people picked it up and they shared it. And I haven't heard anybody else say much that way about it. But Mr. Pittsburgh and I were just watching it, and we were both going like,
something not quite right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's weird.
It is weird.
Have you ever heard?
Spigger.
Have you ever heard of the guy named Louis Shelton?
Maybe. And I say that because it sounds familiar, but nothing's really popping into my noodle.
Louis Shelton.
Yes.
Is a guitar player.
Okay.
Who plays the amazing guitar parts on ABC and I Want You Back by the Jackson 5.
Okay.
He plays Last Train to Clarksville by the Monkees. He's the guitarist on that. He's on tons of things like that from that era. And there's a Vertex Effects. Did really cool extended interview with him where he breaks down his riffs and he plays the stuff and talks about his gear and everything. It's really neat. I put a link to it in the show notes. But he says it even in the interview that like he really wasn't at the level of like Tommy Tedesco. He wasn't like or Glenn Campbell, you know what I mean?
Right,
but he was kind of those guys were like more well established and he was kind of like breaking in and he got on these sessions, but he played some of his stuff. It's really the guitar part on I Want You Back by Jackson 5. Mm-hmm. That's insane. Like, yeah. it's really killer. Really, really killer. So if you guys got a chance, I put a link to it in the show notes. You should check it out.
Hey, real quick, I got a text from my buddy Daryl a couple of days ago, and he said him and his wife were at the Hard Rock here in Pittsburgh, and they were going to see a guy by the name of Selwyn Birchwood. Does that name sound familiar?
Selwyn?
No, Selwyn? Selwyn Birchwood? Because we featured him, or we talked about him in previous podcasts.
We did not.
Yes,
right
now,
dead. Mr. Pittsburgh.
Yes, right dead.
Now you're telling,
right
telling stories
yes,
out of school.
Right dead. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. Yeah, we talked about him.
Four.
And the sad thing is, like, what happened to your, you dropped some ice? What, jeepers, creeper? Okay.
There was something on there. Oh, cat hair.
Oh, well, you know, here, just throw that in that bucket. Anyway. He dropped some ice, folks. It's okay. It's you know, don't try this at home. We're professionals. The funny thing is,
don't try to play with ice while you're talking.
I looked the guy up, and like face didn't ring a bell, but as soon as I saw what he was playing an ES-335. I'm like, oh yeah, I remember. You know, I put the face and the guitar together. That's how I know people. I'm like,
guitar.
I'm like, I know that guy. But I thought it was kind of cool that he was actually seeing somebody that we had talked about in the past.
Well, that's groovy.
In the past.
Feeling groovy.
Or as David Lee Roth would say, feeling groovy. I don't know if he'd actually. Yeah, he probably would sing it like that.
Yeah, actually, that sounded better than the way he was singing.
That's true. That's
so,
true.
Oh,
wow.
Louis Sheldon. So check it. Yeah, if you get a chance, check that out.
Yeah, cool.
So this is something interesting, too. I just recently, this year, the first instance of Mickey Mouse, Steamboat Willie.
Oh, Steamboat Willie, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is now in the public domain.
Right.
This is so interesting. These, originally, your copyright on something like that would last, I don't know, like 70 years or 60 years or something like that.
Yeah.
Then it would go into the public domain. But what has happened is these large corporations have lobbied the government to extend the copyright. And at first you might, at first blush, you might go, well, that's good. It's actually not.
Right.
Because it'd be different if that copyright belonged to a person.
Right.
But that person's long dead.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And properties, intellectual properties that could be of use to people and would be really interesting to see what, like, people would do with them, is unfortunately still tied up in copyright. And I'll give you a good example. Like, if they hadn't renewed they hadn't extended the copyright law, Star Trek.
Right.
The first episode of Star Trek would be in the public domain like this year.
Oh, wow.
But it's not because the public.
Right,
so it's not going to come into the public domain until like 2046 or something. Like that. We're going to be long gone. it just kind of makes you think that, like, what would. Now, of course, like, it would show up everywhere and it would be all kind of. But there would probably be people would probably still. There'd probably be people who would do seriously cool things with it
exactly,
as well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it would be neat to see, you know, it's like I said, if it was like, belonged to Gene Roddenberry and he was alive and everything, you'd be like, well, no. You know
no,
what I
no,
mean?
This is mine.
That's his, of course, you get that. But like, it belongs to Paramount or something, you know what I mean?
Right.
And it would also make you kind of wonder if, like, these companies would be forced to develop other creators to create new stuff. Because now Star Trek, I'm just using that as an example,
right.
would be in the public domain, so they couldn't use, so that wouldn't be as effective to use. So maybe we would have more interesting, varied, different, you know what I mean, characters and properties and stories and stuff going around there, instead of them being able to constantly go back to the Star Trek well, the Mickey Mouse well, actually like. The first instance of Superman is coming into the public domain, like,
really
soon too. And the first Batman, but they can't use them all. Like, they've been recopyrighted,
as
under different iterations.
Right. So you can use Steamboat Willie's Mickey Mouse, but you can't use the current Mickey Mouse.
Right.
Yeah,
that's yeah.
Yep.
That's bothering me.
I thought it was holding up the shelf.
Yeah, I thought it was too. And it's glass. I'm going like, whoa! I don't want to be breaking.
It's very strong glass.
So, Yeah, I just thought that that was really interesting, and I saw this on Dave Collins' YouTube channel. He's a really thoughtful guy, and at first I was like, what are you talking about? But then as he started to explain how that, like, it isn't necessarily a good thing. Like, if these properties could become public domain, mm-hmm. you might see all kind of really neat stuff that, again, people, they would show up on cereal boxes and stuff like that, right. Of course, you know, but you might see a lot of, you could probably also see a lot of cool shit. Speaking of Star Trek, and I'm so, this is one thing I guess I'm glad Lily isn't here for, because she can't stand Star Trek. I rewatched the original Crew's send-off movie. It's called The Undiscovered Country. It's Star Trek VI. It's really good. I forgot what a great film it is. They really gave them a really good send off in this. It's a kind of a whodunit in space.
Whodunit.
It's really good. Have you ever seen it?
I have not.
It's really good. It's very good. It's the sort of the last voyage with the original characters.
Mm-hmm.
91, 90, something like that. Mm. After that, they went on to make the Next Generation films, but. It's really good. If you haven't seen it in a while, or you're a Trekker, maybe you've never seen it, it's very well done. Great guest performances by Kim Cattrall.
Oh, wow.
And Christopher.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And Christopher Plummer.
Yeah. Wait, Christopher Plummer?
Christopher Plummer. From the Sound of Music. And,
oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. All right.
He plays Chang. He plays a Klingon.
Interesting. See, I was thinking Christopher Lloyd.
No, not...
Christopher Lloyd.
Not Chank. I said Chang.
Oh, that's where I got confused. Oh,
Christopher
so,
Lloyd.
Hey, Rudini. So sorry.
Oh, Rudini.
Oh, Rudini.
Rudini.
Remember that day we got canceled? That was awesome. That was so much fun.
Hey. You know, I was thinking about my favorite Disney movie this week.
Yeah, oh, no.
Finding Negro.
No! We got reinstated, then we got canceled like within 10 seconds. It was fun as hell. That was so much fun.
They really need to make Finding Negro. That would be hilarious.
Uh-oh.
But Christopher Lloyd played a Klingon in the Search for Spock.
That's right. Okay.
He's great in that,
too.
I
get all confused. There's so many Star Treks. I think there's more Star Treks than there is Spider-Man.
Maybe.
Hey, since we were talking about Star Trek, is there going to be a Star Trek 4?
I doubt it. I don't know.
Movies. I hear rumors back and forth.
Well, here's the thing with what they did with the it's called the Calvin timeline.
Right.
What happened was
Calvin.
Calvin. Calvin Klein timeline. Not the Calvin Klein timeline.
It's on your underwear.
It's called the Kelvin. Mm-hmm. It's the Kelvin timeline.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And what happened was Star Trek belongs to Paramount. J.J. Abrams wanted to make Star Trek. They're like, okay, we're going to, like, you know, license it to you. However, you can't do anything that's going to interfere with the original Star Trek stuff.
Okay.
So you have to kind of come up with something. And the characters can't really be the same. So it created a different timeline where they did big things, like they killed Kirk's dad. And this is why Kirk is different. He's not the same kind of Kirk.
Yeah.
I was excited about those movies when they first came out.
Yeah.
But now I think they're really cheesy, and I don't think that they. I don't think that they're Star Trek. They're big, over the top sci-fi action.
Sure.
Lens flare.
Yeah. Oh my God. So
movies,
annoying.
And they're fun for what they are. Yeah. But you know, I think that they completely missed the point of what Star Trek was kind of about. You know.
The whole feeling of Star Trek. The original Star Trek was peace, harmony, wisdom, blah blah blah, and these are very much action movies.
Punch up, shoot 'em ups. You know.
Yeah.
The characters make decisions and do things that, like, the characters would never do.
You know what?
Yeah,
I agree.
And that's what. But they had to do something different because he wanted. So it was like,
interesting. Fascinating.
They had his whole career. Gene Roddenberry resisted, you know, going back in time and telling the original story. He was he didn't want, for some, I don't remember why, but he was, anytime that got brought up, he never wanted to do that for some reason. The movie I think is insufferable now. I remember going to see it and everybody liked it.
Uh-huh.
And it was called Into Darkness. Star Trek Into Darkness, the second one.
Right.
And I remember going and going like, okay, yeah, it was Kirk was there and everything. You know what I mean? Khan, all the whole thing, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, it didn't sit right with me. I remember going to get a slice of pizza afterwards and just sitting there going like, there's something about this movie that kind of bothered me. Mm-hmm. You know, there are things about it I liked, but there was things, and I think part of it was that whole thing with the Wrath of Khan,
right,
and everything. That is that's a tie in to the original original Star Trek series. And so it has like deep roots.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And it felt very earned, because if you know the story of, if you've seen the episode Space Seed, then you understand what really was going on here. But there are things like all the people in the Federation, none of them act like the Federation, like, yeah, you're going to go and you're going to assassinate this guy. I'm like, this Federation we don't do assassinations. Like, in all the Star Trek stuff, like, they find people who are doing terrible things and they try to talk to them.
Exactly.
And, like, reason find the good them in them. Yes, and, like, yes. You know what I mean? Like, you know, yeah. It's like, that doesn't make any sense. And then why did Peter Weller's character, Peter Weller, by the way, who I was really happy to see in the movie. I think he's a great actor.
Oh, yeah.
Underused these days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that Admiral, whatever he is, like, why does he need to resurrect somebody from like two centuries ago to help him build a fleet to fight the Klingons? Like, it was like, that's not making any sense. There's just, you know, there's aspects of it where I thought were kind of fun, but I had to ultimately say no.
Okay.
So I had to say no to it. So speaking of Wrath of Khan, which is in a lot of, this is one of those sequel films that, like, everybody says is better than the first film. Wrath of Khan. A lot of people say it's like a way better movie than Star Trek, the motion picture. Another one is,
Porky's
2. Empire Strikes Back is always considered, right? Empire Strikes Back considered like the superior movie in some ways to the original Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Godfather 2, and to a lot of people, is superior to the original Godfather.
Right.
So, in that tradition, I saw Dune 2.
Oh, okay.
This weekend. Are you familiar with the story of Dune at all?
So, I remember, what was the original?
There was that movie with David Lynch film.
That's
with
what Colin I remember. Loughlin yes. And that's the kind of movie that I'll maybe watch once a year, but it takes a couple days.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
So, what?
And I saw Dune 1 when it came out.
Oh, you did?
I did, and I liked it. But I was very disappointed that I had to wait for Dune 2. So what I'm going to have to do now, before I watch Dune 2, I'm going to have to go back and watch the first Dune.
I thought I was going to have to do that.
Yeah.
But what I did was, there's this thing you never heard of. I don't know. It's called YouTube.
Shut up.
And if all you have to do is type in Dune 1 recap. In about 15 minutes, you got the whole thing.
That's awesome. This here internet, I swear to gosh, it's going to take off.
So I'm not telling you not to watch Dune 1 again, because it is a very good movie.
Yeah.
But that's what I did. I was just I was running out of time to sit around and watch Dune 1 again.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
And so I was like, and this had come out. And movies say you don't know how long they're going to be in the theater.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So I was like, if I wait another week, I don't know if it's going to still be around, whatever.
Be there. Yeah.
But it's killing in the box office. It's doing very, very well. It's drawing comparisons to movies like Lawrence of Arabia.
Lawrence of Arabia.
That's exactly the theme song to it, too. How did you know that?
Yeah, I did.
Dune 2. Dune-y, Dune, Dune.
Dune 2.
So it's this. It's a giant.
Dune, 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 dune.
It's a giant, sweeping epic.
So is this the? Is there only going to be two Dunes?
Okay, you'd think, right? Dunes. It does pretty much end.
Okay.
Where the book?
Where
is.
The book? Okay.
Pretty
That's
much.
All I wonder is there going to be.
Okay, but however.
Yeah.
The director. Made some took some license.
Okay.
And I've actually been caught up in some, like, not debates but discussions on some YouTube channels about the choices that were made.
Okay.
First of all, let me say it's a very well-made movie, sure. And all the actors are top-notch. The cinematography is freaking great. Like, it is very, very good. Okay, okay. It's really good. Yes. Okay, however, it does change the main character a bit. Like, if you read the original Dune,
mm-hmm.
Paul Atreides is a lot like Luke Skywalker.
Right.
He's a lot like, very, yeah. very similar kind of thing. We should say Luke Skywalker is a lot like Paul Atreides because,
yes.
because Dune was written about 10 years before yes. Star Wars came out.
Sure.
So and it definitely influenced Star Wars in many mm-hmm, ways. In fact, mm-hmm. they talk about the spice mines of Kessel, right?
Yeah.
You know, that's the whole, you know, that's the he borrowed that, you know, Tatooine desert planet borrowed from Dune.
Sure.
That's the same thing. But in this thing, without I want to get into the weeds on it, but he did change the main character's motivations and stuff a little bit.
Okay.
So he's not really as it's like his heroicism is kind of questionable.
Okay.
Is he like just trying to like? Is he kind of an anti-hero?
Mm-hmm.
Is he maybe even a kind of a villain? Maybe like you know what's really you know going on. One of the things that they changed from the book that I was like the whole movie I'm waiting for. His sister to be born. In the book, it's a big thing. His sister Alia is born, and she becomes a big part of the story. Uh-huh. She's the one that kills the Baron at the end of the movie and everything.
Right.
At the end of the story, and everything like that. She isn't even born in this. Jessica is pregnant with her the whole time,
yeah.
but she never gets born. They speed up the whole thing. Like him taking over the planet and all that happens almost like maybe, I don't know, 6 months or something.
Okay.
Whereas in the book, it takes several years.
Sure.
It doesn't, you know, he doesn't just do it. So he made some choices like that. All the supporting characters are great. The scene, there is the knife fight between Fade Ralph and Paul Atreides. Like there is in the David Lynch one with Sting mm-hmm. plays Fade Ralph in the Lynch version. It's stunning. It's like, man, I'm glad I saw it on a big screen. It's like, mm-hmm. so I would recommend like if you're into that sort of thing, go check out. It is long. It's over 2.5 hours long. So
yeah.
That's probably why I'm not going to go back and see it again in a movie theater. I definitely will probably yeah. watch it. I'll probably get the two yeah. on Blu-ray.
That's you know what I'm thinking of doing. Yeah.
But they left the ending open. They changed his relationships with Chani from the way it is in the book and the way it is in the David Lynch thing too. And this is a point of contention among some fans.
Oh my.
Me being one of them, I didn't like that change.
Yeah.
So I don't want to give any spoilers. I'm just kind of like giving you like that, you know, if you're really familiar with the book or the David, I got to like after watching the whole Denis Villeneuve's interpretation of it, I'm like had to sit back and go like David Lynch for doing an hour and 34 minute version.
Mm-hmm.
Like he crammed a lot in like
yeah.
he really and just because there's things that don't make it into Villeneuve's version, like the I wanted to see the Navigators fold space. It's never brought up.
Oh,
also,
yeah.
also, what's not brought up when Sharon and I left the movie theater, I said to Sharon, I said, "Did you after watching both movies, do you understand the importance of the spice?" She says, "I have no idea."
Yeah.
And like I'm like it's like a major plot point, and it's not
mm-hmm.
really explained that like this is how everybody travels is
right.
using the spice, and if you don't have the spice, people can't get from planet to planet. When that happens, this is like the universe is like a kind of a medieval kind of kingdom with like each planet is like a fiefdom or whatever,
exactly, yeah.
and certain planets provide this and certain planets provide that, and if you don't have that, if you don't have the spice, they can't get to each other, can't
yeah, exactly.
trade and blah 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not explained.
Mm.
And it's like a major fucking plot point. And I'm like, I that was, you know, so
yeah.
I was like, as everybody's kind of rah, rah, it's so awesome, blah, 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 the whole thing. Like, I'm like, you don't even know
but
what you're
you
doing.
You don't know what you're doing, yeah.
Exactly. I want to say one more thing. No, I'm not about Dune. I'm done with Dune. Check
okay.
it out. I think if you like the first one, you're gonna like the second. You're gonna like it. Lou Pappin said you're gonna like it.
Lou Pappin.
I want to talk about. Is that good? Maybe this isn't going to work.
Oh, no.
Well, that's okay if it doesn't.
No, it, I can. No, skip this. I was looking forward to it all day.
I know.
I don't even know what it is.
But me neither.
Yins don't know what it is, do you? Ah, well.
Ludini. Ludini. Oh, I had something I nut. Really, it was so important.
You nut over there, you Ludini.
Anyways, never mind.
All right, fine.
It's this thing right here, but uh-huh. I had a link to it and it's not working, so screw it. So let's talk about Pittsburgh music.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's do it, Yins, guys.
Before we
before we delve into this.
Well, we're going to delve in, but how about this? How about we play a little Norm Nardini and the
Tigers? Oh, there you go.
Norm Nardini and the Tigers.
Come on in, Norm.
Tomorrow, we'll be at the Decade in Pittsburgh.
Decade!
We'll be there.
Later, Dad.
Hi, Norman. Are you there? Come on, pick up the phone. This is Maria. I know you're there. Are you with somebody else? I sure hope not, because you were great last week.
That's a Pittsburgh chick.
That's a Pittsburgh chick in the video.
And if you don't want me,
Pittsburgh boots.
Somebody will.
Pittsburgh dog.
Over your shoulder, I turned around to see if you still cared. You don't want me, somebody will. You don't want me, somebody will. I can't recall the situation.
So this is circa 1980s.
Wow.
Yeah. Pittsburgh yep. musician Norm Nardini. Norm is still alive, still
of
around.
He is.
Oh my God. Do you have. I'm never going to be able to read that.
Well, let me tell you Norm Nardini's story.
Please.
All right.
I'm never going
to
read that.
Talk to you. I want to talk. I know. So the print is so small.
The print on this.
So a girlfriend and I used to hang out at the Blue Note Cafe down in the South Side, down on East Carson Street. And we get down there, watch bands, get our drink on and whatnot. So we're down there one night. We're drinking. We're pretty much hammered. And look up, and there's some idiot walking down the bar. Walking down the bar. He nearly knocks over my bottle of beer. Right?
Well, God forbid, not that.
Right. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? And I realize he has a microphone in his hand. I'm like, what the hell is this shit? Deb looks at me. She goes, Kevin, that's Norm. That's Norm Nardini. I'm like, oh my, and I looked up and I realized it. And when he put the hat on in the video, he had the same hat on, you know? And I'm like, oh my God, that was so cool. Yeah. So I have seen Norm.
Bass player for the 70s Pittsburgh rock and roll band Diamond Rio. Mm-hmm. Got his career, that's how he got his career started, after a very brief stay at Berklee School of Music. I did not know
that. I did not know
more
that.
More than a few special moments while still in high school. He rented his Ammon B3 organ and roadied for Billy Preston and Sly and the Family Stone when they came to town. Was hired to play guitar and keys in a fake version of the Sonics and the Cherry People.
Mm-hmm.
Backed up Little Anthony and the Imperials, the Detroit Emeralds, the Manhattans, and pickup bands. Played guitar behind Big Mama Thornton,
you know.
George Harmonica Smith at the Jazz Workshop in Boston, Massachusetts. I didn't realize that Norm was a schooled.
He's actually schooled
musician.
Yeah.
At Fox Studio, he had opportunity to play on recordings by Jimmy Beaumont and Skyline.
I know those
Lou
guys.
Christie,
yeah, sure.
Terry Bradshaw. Recordings by Terry Bradshaw.
Oh well, there you go.
Played bass on the Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania polka Steeler fight song.
Well, shut the front door. Ain't that something?
Here comes the town with the great football team.
Bum, 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 bum.
After doing an arrangement of Dancing in the Street that got picked up by RCA, he did an arrangement of Marvin Gaye's Ain't That Peculiar.
Mm-hmm.
And that brought an album deal with Big Tree Records that got Diamond Rio started. With a single in the charts, The Diamond appear on Dick Clark's American Bandstand and did shows with Aerosmith, Rush, mm-hmm, Ted Nugent, mm-hmm, Kansas, wow, Can't Eat, Blue Oyster Cult. They opened for Kiss at Cabo Hall in Detroit the night they recorded Kiss Alive.
Well, how about that?
Dirty Diamonds, their second release, was on the Buddha label and was produced by Adrian Barber, who had done work with Aerosmith on the first album, although mm-hmm, it didn't go so well at the time. Oh. Dirty Diamonds is currently being re-released on Rock Candy Records and is considered to be a classic piece of work. Nardini produced Rough Cuts, The Diamonds' third and final LP. Norm Nardini and the Tigers started tearing up the rock and roll shows in 1979, opening for bands like The Romantics, Joan Jett, Beaver Brown, and Beaver Brown, or... Mm-hmm. With John Cafferty and the Beaver Brown Band, maybe. Is that what that means?
Yes, I think
in the fall of 1980, the Tigers played Asbury Park's Fast Lane and opened the show for The Rest, one of Bon Jovi's early bands. Mm. He and John Bon Jovi remained friends to this day, and John had Nardini open his 2011 performance at Pittsburgh's Consol Energy Center.
Wow.
Recorded at Cleveland's legendary Agora nightclub, Eaten Alive, which received 4-star review from Rolling Stone magazine and was released in 1981, kept the Tigers on the road constantly. CBS released Norm Nardini and the Tigers' 83 old buddy John Bond sang background vocals. With the Tigers broken up, Nardini did one more release with CBS, Love Dog, which featured Rick Derringer, Dr. John, and Paul Schaefer, and hit in 86 and was followed by a tour with the Radiators.
Huh.
A tour of Germany as an opening act for the Blues Brothers came about because Smoke Two Joints, the single from the Circumstantial LP, was hitting the airways just after the Berlin Wall came down and folks were exercising their freedom to rock and smoke.
Rock and smoke, you say?
Highly talented underground group from Wheeling, West Virginia, the Brett Kane Band worked with Nardini to create some legendary music in the 90s. That's a name that sounds really familiar. Brett Kane Band. It sounds really familiar. Mm. As a leader of Pittsburgh Blues All-Stars, Nardini has led performances at the Pittsburgh Blues Festival for the past last 13 years. Shows have featured the best of the Berg, Sherry Richards, Billy Price, Gary Beloma, Kenny Blake, Mark Stutzo, and Jill West. The late, great Glenn Pavone played his last show with the All-Stars at the Blues Festival. So that's a little bit about the man himself.
Norm Nardini.
Norm Nardini.
You can't get more Pittsburgh than Norm.
Norm Nardini. We mentioned there Glenn Pavone.
Right.
Now you have something. Glenn Pavone is a legendary blues guitar
legendary
player.
Legendary here in the Bird.
Played with Billy. And I should have mentioned, I don't have Billy Price on the list, but Billy Price would be a good fit.
Sure,
as well.
Sure. All right, so I'm going to start with a little story here. I met Glenn. When was that? Hold on, let me do some stuff here.
Glenn.
Let me look at some stuff here.
Probably we're back in the Glenn.
Probably back in 2009 or so.
Done in 2009.
I was trying to figure out how I can talk about this, but what he?
Oh no,
he's no longer with us, so I don't think I'm violating any kind of
he day
privacy laws.
He but, real day.
But I met Glenn Pavone when I worked in the medical field, and I just happened to be checking our patient list for that day, and I saw his name, and I'm like, no way. So I got to the waiting room, and there's this fella sitting there, and I'm like, Glenn Pavone? And he's like, yeah, right here. I'm like, the Glenn Pavone? And he just kind of looked at me. I'm like, Glenn Pavone and the Cyclones? And his face lit up. He goes, yeah. Yeah, that's me. I'm like, dude, oh my God. I told him, I'm like, you're a Pittsburgh legend. And so we talked a little bit, and I told him I was a musician and stuff like that. And I said, are you still playing out? Because I hadn't heard his name in eons, right? He said, well, I have some health issues and stuff like that. It makes it hard to get out and play.
Okay.
I'm like, okay. So after what he needed to get done, after that was all finished, I went out to release him, let him know we were done with him. I said, Glenn, I need you to do me a favor. He says, what's that, man? I said, I want you to go home, pick up your Stratocaster and play it today. He's like, okay. He kind of got a smile on his face, right? Now,
that's cool.
That would be the cool end of the story there.
Uh-huh.
Right? A couple weeks later, listening to DVE,
hey guys, this is DVE. Hey, coming up this weekend.
That's the by the way, guys, if you're not familiar, that's the Big Rock Station.
That's the Big Rock Station here. Hey, coming up this weekend, Glenn Pavone is hitting the stage at blah blah blah. I'm like, are you shitting me? So he went out and played. Now, unfortunately, this would have been August. Unfortunately, August 9th, 2010, we lost Glenn. He succumbed to his illnesses. And so let me just tell you a little bit about Glenn. He's such a nice guy, too. He took the time to talk to me and stuff. We talked about guitars and things like that. So Glenn was a native of Alexandria, Virginia, and started playing his guitar at the age of 7. Inspired by Purple Haze. Purple Haze. He started performing on stage when he was 9. Hey, what were you doing when you was 9 years old? Watching TV.
Yeah, right?
He first played with the Bill Blue Band. Their album Sing Like Thunder on Adelphia Records was a regional hit in the Washington, D.C., Virginia, and North Carolina areas. Looking for a new guitarist, Billy Price had him sit in with the band, gigging at Desperados in Georgetown, in the Georgetown section of Washington, D.C., and he blew Price away. Glenn came to Pittsburgh, and spent 9 years with Price's Keystone Rhythm Band during the 80s.
Keystone Rhythm Band, wow.
Yep.
Billy Price and the Keystone Rhythm Band.
Yeah.
Yes.
While with the KRB, Pavone recorded the albums Billy Price at the Keystone Rhythm Band Live, Free at Last on Antenna Records. The latter featured I'm Gonna Win the War, where his writing was nominated for a WC Handy Award.
Nice.
Yeah. He went on to record and perform with the Cyclones afterwards for the next 2 decades. Their debut CD, Twist This, had a hit Oh Babe and was a local big seller and was aired heavily on WDVE. Glenn was noted for 2 things. First, the way he can make a guitar wail. Yes, I've seen video. Sadly, I was kind of young during that time, wasn't able to go and see him live. He played bluesy rock from the Jimmy Stevie Ray school, and he could finger the strings on his Strat like an old time picker, which is true. So here's a little bit of Glenn Pavone.
Moondogs.
Yep.
Yeah, wow.
Happier times. Glenn Pavone and the Cyclones. They were all, every time DVE would mention who was playing that weekend during the 80s, it was always Glenn and the Cyclones playing somewhere.
Glenn Pavone and the Cyclones.
There you go.
Let's talk about another guy who I can't say his name without doing a Yinzer accent.
Of course.
Jagger Shaking Hosh Rockers.
There you go, yeah.
This is Junior's Bar.
Going down to Junior's Bar just to have a drink. Searching for a one that rendezvous. The girls are standing at the bar, all dressed up and looking good. Sit down and show.
Let's learn a little bit about Joe Grushecki.
Sure. While you're looking that up, I'm going to tell Joe Grushecki's story. So I was dating a girl. She worked for
Dating Joe Grushecki. What?
Yeah, that's. I don't want to talk about that period of my life. But I was dating a girl, and she got invited to a birthday party, and it was. Yes.
Wait.
Yes.
Not that there's anything wrong with
no,
that.
No, exactly. I think that should be implied at this point.
But anyway, so she was invited to a birthday party, and the birthday party was for somebody here in Pittsburgh who was very well off. And it was set in a very nice, it wasn't no fire hall, okay? It was very nice venue, or, you know, restaurant or whatever. And we get there, and there's like a stage set up. I'm like, what's going on here? And she goes, oh, they hired a band to play. I'm like, wow, that must be nice to be able to hire a band for your birthday. And all of a sudden, Joe Grushecki gets up and starts playing. I'm like, are you shitting me? They hired Joe Grushecki to play this guy's band party. I'm like, oh my gosh. Yeah, so that was kind of cool. So nice learning about Joe Grushecki.
Pittsburgh, known for his work with the Iron City House Rockers in the late 70s and early 80s, and his work since the 80s with his act Joe Grushecki and the House Rockers. They dropped the Iron City thing. I remember when that happened, and Joe was like, no, and it's nothing against Pittsburgh. It's just that, like, it's for, like, marketing purposes. It just makes it easier.
Right, exactly, yeah.
You know, in 76, Joe Grushecki High School, Special education teacher, started the Brick Alley Band. They signed to Cleveland International Records in 77, who rechristened them the Iron City House Rockers. The band's first album was Love So High, released in 79. It was a fair success. Their next album, Have a Good Time, but Get Out Alive, released in 1980, was a bigger success. Two more albums followed, Blood on the Bricks in 1981 and Cracking Under Pressure in 83 as the House Rockers. By 84, the band wasn't selling many records anymore, and they were dropped by MCA Records. They broke up shortly after. After the breakup, the Iron City House Rockers, Grushecki returned home to Pittsburgh, where he retook a teaching job, which he still holds.
Awesome. Yep.
He also began to sharpen his songwriting. He released a single entitled Goodbye Steel Town in 89. He fully re-emerged with a new act, Joe Grushecki and the House Rockers. Grushecki's first new album since the Iron City House Rockers days was Rock and Real, released in 89. It will be followed by seven more albums, and 95's American Babylon was produced by Bruce Springsteen. That's right, him and Bruce have a have a friendship. So that is a little bit about Joe Grushecki.
So here's another story about Joe Grushecki. So the same girl and I, this was a different girl.
Women's.
So she, she's like, there's like a little house party, my friends and I, it's in Dormont. Do you want to come? And I'm like, I don't know. She goes, oh, come on. There's going to be food and, you know, I'm like, booze. I'm like, all right, good. So we get out there and it's a nice little party, whatever. And it's warm outside. So we go out and stand on the front porch and her friend comes out who lives there. And she points across the street. She's like, know who lives in that house? I'm like, well, who? She goes, Joe Grushecki. I'm like, no way. And he did. And so we're like sitting there laughing. How cool would it be if like a limousine pulls up and Bruce Springsteen gets out and then they start jamming in his basement? Wouldn't that be cool? But anyway, so yeah. She lives across the street from Joe Grushecki.
Oh, I was dating this girl. She lived across the street from Joe Grushecki and House Rockers.
Hey. You didn't believe that? And then Norm Nardini kicked over my beer bottle. He was crazy. It was a crazy night.
Norm Narweenie.
Yes.
Norm Narweenie. Love Norm Nardini. I played a show, and they played ahead of us. They were very gracious.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah, very cool people.
All right, so my next guy is not a rocker, but he comes with a story, so I'm going to include him. excuse me very much. So I told you, you folks know I worked in the medical field. And this one day we get an inpatient come down. He's an older black gentleman. And he's elderly. And
why does he have to be black?
That's not the emphasis here. The emphasis was number one, because he was. But that's not the emphasis. He's older, right?
Wow, what's with
and sometimes
you?
when so folks are racist. Older, they get a little loopy.
When they
right?
get older, they get a little black. Is that what you're trying to say? Wow.
No, it's not.
What kind of racial bullshit
Sir,
is this?
Sir, it is not what I was saying at all.
I'm so sorry, everybody. I didn't know it had a racist.
So does this older man who happened to be African American.
Why does he have to be older? Against older men.
Oh my God, I am one. What are you talking about? When he comes down, he's on a stretcher. He goes, hey.
I'm really offended.
He's like,
I'm triggered.
Can I tell my
fucking story.
No. Yeah, tell this, your story. I'm joking. Old man, I'm having fun.
He beckons me over to the stretcher. He's like, he goes, excuse me, excuse me.
I'm like, yeah, what's up? An old black man beckoned to me.
He goes, how long? He goes, how long is this test going to take? And I said, well, from start to finish, it's X amount of time, and you get a little in between the two parts of this test. And he goes, that's good, because I need to be in Chicago to perform a gig tonight. I'm like, of course you do. Okay, so we do the first part of the test. We send him back to his room.
And it was Joe Grushecki in blackface.
No. It was Norm Nardini in blackface. That was not Norm.
We are just so kidding. We are. Please don't folks, ever don't joke. Go out and say
it's just a joke.
The Ludini Rock and Roll Circus said that
my name is
musicians
Stu Metzler.
Are performing in blackface. Oh, we're just kidding.
No, we're just.
That
it's
would
just
never happen.
We're just
these are all really cool we're folks. Two, we're just having some fun.
Two eighth graders with microphones at this point. So
I get a text from this fucker the other night. He goes, I'm listening back to our last podcast. What did you say?
There's something wrong
with us.
There's
something wrong with us. So please take that
into
consideration. We're not right in the head.
Even we laugh at ourselves. But anyway, so we send him back to his hospital room, and I happen to look down, and I'm like, yeah, Walter Harper. And I'm like, son of a bitch, that's Walt Harper. Do you know who Walt Harper is?
He's a musician.
He's a very famous jazz musician, and he was a nightclub owner here in Pittsburgh.
Ah.
And it dawned on me that he was not shitting me. He was totally serious. He was going to get cleared for his, he had to have surgery done, but he made his doctor agree that he could go do this gig because he had it lined up in Chicago, and then he would fly back, and the next day they would do the surgery. So when he came back, I'm like, Mr. Harper, I'm so sorry. I didn't realize who you were. He bust out laughing. He goes, you think I was just making this shit up? I'm like, well, sir, I've had some pretty strange things happen. But, yeah, Walter Eugene Harper was born July 3rd, 1926.
Eugene!
Times is hard, Eugene.
Times is hard, Eugene!
And, unfortunately, he left us. He left the planet October 25th, 2006.
Better come back to the planet.
Yeah, 80 years old, 80 years young, but yeah, he was something else. Harper had a 10-piece band that performed around the country in the late 1940s, early 1950s. He played many large and small venues and was extremely popular with the college scene at the time. Sure, he's a jazz musician. Early on, he gained the nickname the Prom King, because his band played so many high school and college dates.
Wow.
But yeah, he was huge. And like I said, he owned a couple of clubs here in Pittsburgh, and yeah, it was just very cool to meet a Pittsburgh legend.
Before we get any further, we must have a word.
Oh,
from our, we have a word from our sponsor.
Oh my god!
Gorton's crunchy fish sticks and fillets, probably all the crack cocaine. What goes into them is lots of mild, flaky white fish with tons and tons of crack cocaine.
That's what I like, Mom.
What doesn't go into them is any preservatives.
Mom, good night, I'm thinking.
With Gorton's, I really feel good about what they're eating and that good crack.
Gorton's crunchy fish sticks and fillets. Wow. Absolutely no preservatives. Just fish and crack, bitch.
Wow.
Excuse me. What's cracking, bitch? You like fish and crack?
If you like fish and crack, please try Gorton's. No preservatives, just fish and crack.
It's a Gorton's cracker, man.
A couple of people you may not, before we move on to everything else here, you may not realize some other folks that you, names you do know, may not know they're from Pittsburgh. So shout out to the Steel City for Christina Aguilera.
There you go. I knew that. Wexford.
Wiz Khalif.
Sure.
Mac Miller.
Yes.
Anti-Flag is a Pittsburgh band.
Yes.
Girl Talk is a Pittsburgh band.
Sure.
Art Blakey, legendary jazz musician from Pittsburgh. Billy Eckstein.
How about that?
Absolutely.
That, folks? Oh, no. Oh, hey.
We're going to get to them in a minute.
Okay,
because
I got stories.
Okay. Jazz drummer Kenny Clark.
Sure.
Bobby Blotzer.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't he, he ended up, I don't see it there. Never mind. Just never mind. You know what? Never mind.
Okay.
All right.
A jazz musician. A lot of jazz from Pittsburgh.
Oh, yeah.
Ray Brown.
Sure.
Of course. Let's see, who else? Trumpeter Roy Eldridge.
Uh-huh.
Ahmad Jamal is from Pittsburgh. I did not know that. The duo Grand Buffet, I don't know how they're on this list. I played two gigs with these guys in the 90s. This was a experience. These guys were an experience.
Oh, boy.
The jazz bassist Paul Chambers, who John Coltrane wrote a song about Paul Chambers called Mr. PC. Shanice is from Pittsburgh.
Nice.
Jero is from Pittsburgh.
Yes.
We already mentioned Joe Grushecki and Highs Rockers.
Yeah, them guys.
The Dell Vikings are from Pittsburgh.
I did not know that.
The Code. Poverty Neck Hillbillies.
Wow.
Country band. Creation is Crucifixion.
It sure is.
Amanda Latona.
Oh, see.
Oh. The Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra.
I would think they're from Pittsburgh. I think
they're from Pittsburgh.
Oh, okay, sure.
The Cynics, yeah. I can't believe we didn't talk about them. That's in the wake of the 80s garage rock revival. Pittsburgh's The Cynics emerged as a force to be reckoned with, fusing elements of punk, rockabilly, and psychedelic rock. The band's energetic live shows and distinctive sound earned them a dedicated fan base both domestically and abroad. By staying true to their roots while embracing new influences, The Cynics have remained relevant and influential, solidifying their place as one of Pittsburgh's most enduring musical acts.
Noise.
Just kind of running down the running down the dream. Okay, that's it. So there's some there's some folks you may not realize are from the Berg. You know who else is, he's not listed on there? George Benson is from Pittsburgh.
That is correct, sir.
Right you are, sir.
These guys, these guys played with Van Halen. They did several dates with Van, sold out shows with Van Halen. This is the Granati Brothers. They called themselves G-Force.
G-Force, yep. Seen them many times. Yeah.
It's really good.
Yeah.
It's like really good.
Have you seen, I'm sure you've seen these guys play, yes?
I've never seen them play.
Are you serious? No. So the one fun part, they used to play a place called Someplace Else in the South Hills.
Oh, Scum Place Else.
Scum Place Else, exactly.
Yeah.
And they had this dummy's head. Wow, how do I describe it? It was suspended in this frame, and there were springs holding the dummy's head in place. And the one guitarist would spin around and kick the dummy right in the head, and the dummy would go, ah! And he would do it at pivotal points of the song. And it was the fun. And like, as soon as he would do it, everybody would cheer. So, yeah, I remember G-Force.
The Granati Brothers are independent artists whose classic rock music and rich harmonies have been compared to the Beatles, Jellyfish, Queen, and Supertramp. Worked with Moby Hart, yes, and others, mastered their latest independent produced CD called G.
Mm-hmm.
The G Brothers are a veteran performers who rocked the nation at 78 sold-out concerts with Van Halen in the 1980s. Dave Granati's soaring melodic riffs earned him a nomination for Guitar Player of the Year in Guitar Player Magazine in 1981. Their earlier recordings on A&M Records include G-Force, Propaganda in 79. They also performed or recorded with Bruce Springsteen, Jay Giles, Ian Hunter, the Doobie Brothers, Sammy Hagar, Nazareth Hart, Peter Frampton, Boston, Blue Oyster Cult, Def Leppard, Blackfoot, okay, like it's the whole life. You get it. You know, the Jaggers, Norm Nardini, the Clarks. The band signed with Atlantic Records in 86 and recorded an album called Enter. Whether they were known as the Granati Brothers or G-Force, the band headlined thousands of shows at colleges, showcase clubs, and theaters in the 80s through the 90s. The band reunited in 2002 and 2003 to record their latest CD.
Nice.
They've got like all kind of accolades from all kind of people over the years. But yeah, the Granati Brothers.
Yeah.
That's another great cool. Pittsburgh band. There's a whole thing here, but I'm not going to read it.
Very cool. Thank you, G4.
Good schnit. Yeah. Good schnit. What, do you get anything else?
Well, I was going to do the King right there, down King Cool. That was going to be my next guy.
Okay, we'll do King Cool. Let's talk about
him?
The King.
We'll do him.
Okay, we've been holding out a little bit, but we got to talk about, let's do it in unison. One, two, three. Thorny Irish. And if you're from Pittsburgh, you have to say it like, Thorny Irish. Yeah. Nobody says Donny Iris. They say Thorny Irish.
Born Dominic Iris. I-E-R-A-C-E, Iris. But you can call him Thorny Irish.
Thorny Irish.
He's born.
He's one of the Irish triplets.
Born February.
Lonnie, Donnie, and Ronnie.
Ronnie.
That's not true. We just.
No, that's no. A, that's something that's a else. Bit. It's a bit it's from a bit. Radio station. He was born February 28th, 1943. He's an American rock musician. Oh, my God.
Sorry.
Don't fuck around when we're talking about Thorny Irish, okay?
Fish and crack.
Don't be talking about that.
I had too much fish and crack for dinner.
You sure did. Thorny is an American rock musician known for his work with the Jaggers and Wild Cherry during the 1970s and for his solo career beginning in the 1980s with his band The Cruisers, okay? He wrote the number two Billboard hit, The Rapper, with the Jaggers in 1970.
Number two.
I thought Jaggers. And was a member of Wild Cherry after the group hit the number one with... Play that funkin' music.
Play that funkin' music.
He was the white boy. Did you know that? He was the white boy.
I did not know that.
He also achieved fame as a solo artist in the 1980s with the number 29 hit, Aaliyah, and number 37 hit, Love Is Like a Rock. The reason this podcast came to be was Thorny just celebrated his 81st birthday. How's he going to celebrate, Lou?
Playing a gig.
He's playing a gig.
Yeah.
He's still out there playing a gig.
I've never been able to see him live. Every time I try to go, it's sold out.
I know. Yeah.
He's fucking sold out. He's like one of my favorite fucking artists.
Yes.
And I've never been able to see him live. Love to see him live. I hear he still sounds good.
That's what I hear, too. Yeah, because every time he plays a gig, you know, the guys on the radio are like, he still hits those high notes. I forget what band it was that came to Pittsburgh.
I'm going to tell you right now. I know exactly the story you're going to tell. Scott Paulson told this story.
You tell
the
story.
I'm going to tell. This is the Scott Paulson who has since he's disappeared from Facebook.
Oh.
But. Les Paul with the P90s.
Nice.
This is Rob Parisi.
Yeah.
Singer for Wild Cherry. Wild Cherry's a Pittsburgh band. People don't know that. Playing the fucking music, white boy. But,
if only we knew somebody that actually worked with Wild Cherry.
Yeah. Everybody knows the song.
Of course.
It's been covered a million times. It's in tons of movies and TV shows and stuff like that. But Wild Cherry is a Pittsburgh band. People don't realize that. But the story I want to tell before we talk about Wild Cherry is, Scott Paulson, who's a legendary Pittsburgh radio personality, had a great, he did his own, created his, this is really neat, he created his own series on Facebook called On the Turntable.
Okay.
And he would snap a picture of an album he was listening to on a turntable.
Right.
And excuse me. And then he would tell some kind of story.
Okay.
They were all wildly interesting, and I mourned the day that he said, this is my last one, I'm stopping.
Yeah.
Because they were all so fucking good. I would love to have saved them somehow. But he was listening to King Cool by Donny Iris. And Donny Iris.
Yeah.
And he told the story of how Donny Iris was opening for the Damn Yankees.
Okay.
And Tommy Shaw, who is one of the... Tommy Shaw's like... People don't realize what an amazing singer Tommy Shaw is. Tommy Shaw is one of... Like, I tell you what, man. I'd put him on stage with Mickey Thomas or Steve Perry or people of that ilk. And he could totally hold his own. He's an amazing singer. And so Donnie Iris is on stage and he's the final refrain of Aaliyah.
Oh my God.
Is playing out. And Donnie is hitting this these amazing notes. These amazing notes. I'm going to fast forward.
All the way to, yeah.
We can get to it. Whoops. Yeah, I probably can't find it right now.
No, it's right there.
Is this it?
It's going to go into it.
As that's playing, as Donnie's finishing out his set, he's singing that. Tommy Shaw comes running out of his dressing room and like is like gobsmacked backstage. Like, who in the is singing that?
Yep.
And he just could not believe what he was hearing. You know, Donnie Iris, man. Let's give us a little bit more because he's the Keys King. It has to have a
Donnie.
They were I loved when this every once in a while this would pop up on VH1 Classic and I'd be like, oh my gosh,
yes. Yeah, the story I was thinking about, I can't remember the band, but it was a big band, a big hair band of the day. And Donnie was probably opening for them. And Donnie comes backstage and the band's all there, and one of the musicians recognized Donnie. He's, oh my God, Donnie Iris. And Donnie's like, oh yeah, hi, how you doing? Donnie's Donnie, you know. He goes, no, you don't seem to understand. Aaliyah, like, inspired me. He goes, those chords and everything. And then the whole band comes out, and they're, like, gushing over Donnie Iris. And it was just so cool to see, like, this band and I wish I remember what band it was.
Well, that's cool. So there's more than one
story. Oh, yeah, there's tons of story.
Tell a good story about Donnie Iris.
Tell what?
Don't you remember they would do that bit on TV?
Oh my gosh.
Now tell a good story about Donnie Iris.
So my car broke down, right? It's raining out.
People in Pittsburgh, before we go, come on.
Yeah.
Let's go. What happens is, so like, because Donnie Iris is a local celebrity, people have all kinds of stories. He's like a local legend.
Right.
So people in Pittsburgh have all these stories about, my car broke
my
down.
My car broke
and
down.
And a guy pulled up to help me. And it was Donnie Iris.
I didn't have a spare, but he was, guess who that guy was? He's Donnie Iris.
So, I mean, it's all bullshit.
Yeah, it's
just
bullshit,
people wanting to connect
so
with celebrity.
With
you know what I mean? That's all. That's all. That's very cool, though.
Yes.
But, yeah, we jumped into Donnie Iris real quick, though. We did talk about Wild Cherry briefly.
Yes, we did.
Rob Parisi, who he and I are friends on Facebook.
Been nice.
Facebook friends since the beginning of Facebook, practically.
Wow.
Was raised in the steel mill town of Mingo Junction.
There you go.
Graduated from Mingo High School in 68. From the band Wild Cherry in 70. Steubenville, Ohio, but Pittsburgh, right?
It's close enough.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, we live in Canonsburg, PA.
But we're still Pittsburghers.
And we consider ourselves from Pittsburgh. And there's a couple musicians from here. The Four Coins are from Canonsburg.
Sure.
Perry Como.
His street's right down the street.
Right. Exactly. And Bobby Vinton. Bobby Vinton, like, some of you guys may not know who Bobby Vinton is, but if you know the movie Blue Velvet, the David Lynch film.
Yeah.
Exactly. The band's name was Wild Cherry, was taken from a box of cough drops.
Well,
Play the Ohio Valley region, northern West Virginia, Panhandle, and Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
So, you know, these are, you know, that's in the early 70s. So several records were released under their own label, including You Can Be High, But Lay Low.
Oh, my.
Something Special on Your Mind. The music at this stage was pure rock music. Wildcherry eventually gained a record contract with Brown Bag Records, owned by Terry Knight. Brown Bag produced several demos and singles that were later distributed by United Artists, including Get Down and Show Me Your Badge. The band broke up and Parisi left the music scene temporarily, reformed the band in 75. So this goes into all the different lineups and stuff like that. Yes. But they busted out big time with Play That Funky Music, White Boy. And it's a freaking classic. And every band, every cover band I've ever played in, it's like it's a demand. It's like you have to play that song.
Uh-huh,
you have to play that funky music, or you just screw it.
Come on now,
you know you suck if you don't play it.
Exactly,
it's a staple.
Right.
Speaking of Donny Iris and all this jazz, we can't miss talking about these guys right here. We got to talk about the Jaggers.
Yeah.
Talk about in Pennsylvania, in Western Pennsylvania, you can be walking through the woods and you can snag your pants on what, Mr. Pittsburgh?
Jagger bush. It's horrible.
Everybody knows the song. I bet you didn't know these guys from Pittsburgh.
Hey girl, I met you. There's someone out to get you.
I hear Donnie. You're Donnie Iris singing. Mm-hmm. His voice.
On a bus, in a bar, in a grocery store. He'll say, excuse me, haven't I seen you somewhere before?
Yeah, fuzz guitar is neat. Hand claps are cool.
Nice.
Are there hand claps in music these days? I don't know.
I don't think so. Just don't think so, Lou.
Oh my God! Let's talk about them Jaggers.
Yep.
Get me some linkage here, YouTube. Hook me up, link me, baby. The Jaggers are an American rock band from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. They came to national attention with their single "The Rapper," which was released on the Kama Sutra label.
Nice.
Wow! Things you learn doing a podcast.
Hey, now.
The Rapper was the number one. Record in the world charts, number two in the Billboard Hot 100 in 1970, nice. Having sold over 1 million copies. The recording received Gold Record Award. The band's name derives from the Western Pennsylvania English term Jagger, meaning a small, sharp, pointed object, typically thorns, spines, or prickles. They were managed by the Skyliners. Manager Joe Rock. The Skyliners are another band from Pittsburgh, the iconic band from Pittsburgh.
Awesome.
So, yes, this song, which you hear on oldie stations every fucking day, is by Pittsburgh. And this and
Jaggers.
Dominic Iris.
Uh-huh.
Is in the band. Donny Iris is in the band. Oh, God. Wow, Cherry, the Jaggers. Oh, my God. I just feel like we're going
Lions
down memory.
Lions and tigers and bears and Jaggers.
And Jaggers in that.
All over the place.
Okay, so we're gonna jump forward in time a bit.
Okay.
Okay.
We're going to jump forward,
okey-doke,
as some people say.
Let's do it.
We're going to jump up in time and see if this is a little ditty that maybe tickles your ear.
Let me take a listen. From a couple
of years ago.
Let's see what this
from
is.
From a couple of years ago.
Okay, here we go. Ready?
I'll tell you.
On the way.
I would like to reach out my hand. Tell you to run.
On the way.
Well, pick me up with golden hand. Tell you to run.
On the way.
Why did it stop, Lou?
Lou, why?
No, he doesn't say. Okay, first of all, I got to talk about the lyrics of this song.
Where does music stop?
We got to talk about the lyrics.
Okay.
You know what they say about the young. If that's not what he's saying, he's going, bubby say, bubby um. That's what he's saying. For years.
Yeah.
And I mean, just,
like scatting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bubby say, bubby um.
Yeah, exactly.
For years, I thought it was, I did not know it was Send Me On My Way. I thought he was singing Simeon Way.
Wait, isn't it about monkeys?
Yeah, because he was going, bubby say, bubby um. Like, I thought it was a whole, like, jungle thing going on. I thought that for, not years, decades.
Yeah.
It wasn't until I saw the lyrics.
Obviously, he went to Pittsburgh Public School.
Mike and Bicky's a great voice. Great singer. Oh, yeah. Great voice. He and I had the same vocal coach.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. He worked very, very hard on this. I think he saw her for coaching, I think, like every day while they were in the studio.
Wow.
Like, he was just determined to make it absolutely just cool. Great. But yeah, Liz Berlin, mm-hmm. who is in the band, who now owns Mr. Smalls.
Mr. Smalls, yeah.
They did okay on this. This was a big national hit for them. It wasn't just a Pittsburgh thing. And I think out of all the bands we played so far, I think this is probably the song that most people are probably going to go, oh yeah, that maybe that and I'll leave. Maybe I'll leave. Mm-hmm. Rest of Roots, American world beat rock band. Formed in 1990 in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, by singer guitarist Michael Kubicki, Patrick Norman on bass, and percussionist Liz Berlin. The band got its start as a house band playing weekly gig at Jack's Back Room in Pittsburgh Southside.
Really?
The band, Jack, yeah.
Jack's, I used to live above
the
Jack's.
Back Room and Jack's, yeah. The band achieved fame in 94 with its platinum selling When I Woke, which included the hit single Send Me On My Way. The song has been featured prominently in many films and commercials. Rust Root has sold more than 3 million albums and is currently on hiatus. After releasing The Movement in 2012 touring through 2015, the band went on indefinite hiatus with principal songwriter and vocalist Michael Glabicki forming the group Uprooted with former members of Rusted Root and continuing to tour with the group into the 2020s.
You want to hear my Rusted Root story?
You have a Rusted Root story.
I got fucking stories at the yin yang.
You're a yin yang.
Back in the day when I was married, my wife and I rented a third floor apartment in East Liberty. Owned by the Berlins. Yes.
The Berlins.
The Berlins.
The Berlins.
Maybe you know their daughter, Liz.
Liz.
Right?
And the Berlins.
The Berlins.
Das Berlins.
They lived on the first floor. Liz lived on the second floor, and my wife and I lived on the third floor. Well, one night the wife decided she wanted something. I can't remember what, ice cream, chocolate, shampoo. I don't know. She goes, I really need this. And all right, I'll go get it. So I come down the stairs to the second floor, and there is a couch wedged in the stairs with all of Rusted Root on it.
We're taking a picture.
No.
Oh.
They were trying to get the couch up into Liz's apartment and it got stuck. So Liz is like, oh, hi, Kevin. Sorry. This might take a little while. I'm like, okay. She goes, look. Excuse me. She didn't cough. I did. She goes, look, just go through my apartment.
There's stairs in the back.
Yeah. Turn your head and cough. So I walked through her apartment, went downstairs and looked up, and there's Rusted Root trying to figure out how to get this couch unwedged from the stairs. But I'm like, that's good. And that's right when this song hit. It's right when this song hit. And it was just very cool. So I got stories from all these people. I'm like, oh, what am I going to be able to say about all these Pittsburgh artists?
I'm surprised because a lot of times you're like, yeah.
Stories about all of them.
Because a lot of times you're like, yeah, man, I don't really have much. Okay. Yeah. So one more. We're going to do one more. I mean, there's so many. We're going to do one more.
I ain't going to say anything about these guys. I'll tell you afterwards why. Oh, wait. I saw them at the last Penguins game.
In a black and far-off corner of my mind,
cigarette by the irrepressible The Clarks from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Actually, The Clarks are an American rock band from Pittsburgh region, originating from Indiana University of Pennsylvania, my alma mater.
There you go. Hey, Jins know them? Jins know the Clarks?
Yes. Over the course of 30-plus years, they have produced 11 studio albums,
wow,
2 live albums,
ooh,
2 compilation albums,
yikes,
and an EP, and 4 song titles on selling album and everybody. Okay. They didn't sell as much as Rusted Root or Donny Iris.
Wow.
But they did it. They did okay. These guys are super cool. Scott Blasey, mm-hmm, Rob James, Greg Joseph, and Dave Minerick.
Okay.
I was in a little band, you know, and they invited us to come out to the Gingerbread Man in Altoona and open for them. They were insanely gracious to us.
Oh, that's cool.
They did not have to be, not, you know what I mean? They didn't act like rock stars. They sat and had beers with us. They were funny. Nice. They were chill. You know, they were not like, you know, they were, you know. Well,
you and peasants, we, stay over there.
And we, you know, we talked with Scott, and he was like, yeah, we're big in Pittsburgh, but when we play Atlanta, we play to like 12 people.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we're working on it. We're building it, you know. And this was, they weren't super big yet. I don't think this song had come out yet, but there was like, they had that local buzz,
mm-hmm,
and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But this album came out, and they had some Penny on the Floor. It was a really big
song.
Oh, yeah,
I remember that one. Yeah, yeah.
Great. I think they're a totally cool band. They're still out there. They go on, they do different iterations where the, you know, I think like maybe Scott and Greg or Scott and Rob will play acoustic together.
Okay.
You know, they'll do stuff like that, you know. If you get a chance to check them out, check them out. There's so many that we could talk about, you know,
sure,
but we had to pick a few. I didn't get to mention, I'm going to play one
okay,
more. If I can find them on the internet.
All right, good luck.
I was in, here we are. I was in a Hollywood Music,
mm-hmm,
a few, I don't know, about a year ago.
Okay.
And this song came on. It's a band called The Silencers. They're from Pittsburgh, and they had a premiere on MTV.
Oh,
with
wow!
With this video, let me. So I'm gonna let you guys check it out. Where is the Clarks? We need
there. They are.
I love
no,
the Clarks,
the
but they
one.
Need to. We need to
give someone else a chance.
Wow. Oh, it's playing. It's playing there.
Oh, okay, computer magic.
Yeah, this computer stuff is driving me fucking crazy. But I believe this is the song. Right,
okay.
Remote control and illegal.
Showed up on and the Silencers were banned from Pittsburgh, and for a while Pittsburgh doesn't have one sound. Like one of the things that's really big in Pittsburgh right now, if Lily was here, she'd be telling you, is metal. Metal is huge. Mm-hmm. There's all kind of metal bands in Pittsburgh. I was in a band called 20,000 Metal Dicks from Pittsburgh.
Yes, you were.
so these guys were doing a kind of new wave. Kind of a vibe going on.
Yep.
So small, I think they had like kind of like one thing that kind of broke out into onto MTV. They had a song on MTV. didn't last for long, but a lot of people remember them, like them.
Silencers, yes.
But they're a cool band. Do you remember the Silencers?
I remember them, yeah.
You're hearing about them at least? Yeah. So anyways, guys, that's our salute. Pittsburgh, we love you.
Salute.
This is a band called Feel. Mr. Pittsburgh brought a new and notable this week. And this is a cool band. Lily and I actually featured these guys, but they deserve another listen. You need to hear them again. Feel, and they are they're blowing up TikTok.
They're described as what if Led Zeppelin and the Black Crowes had a baby.
Yeah, I hear it.
You can hear it. Yeah,
I totally hear it. I totally hear it, Donner. This is a band that I was praying. See, I must rededicate my life to Christ.
Oh, really?
Because I was praying to Jesus that Black Country Communion would get back together.
And look what happened.
Put out another album. And this is their new song. I think this is killer. Yes. It's called Stay Free, Black Country Communion. Kind of has a Led Zeppelin trampled underfoot kind of thing going on.
Sure.
Is my spirit animal. He's 72 years old. Listen to that fucking voice. Man. Like, yes, we all kind of, you know, sort of shake our heads at people like Vince Neil and guys but 72 years old. Now,
still,
Glenn sounds fucking amazing. Now, he hasn't been on tour the way that those guys have to, David Coverdale and stuff like that, but he sounds fucking great. Yeah. Joe Bonamassa is, of course, you know, a god on guitar. Jason Bonham on drums, and Derek Sherinian on keyboards. What were they called? Oh my god, super famous Prague band, Dream Theater.
Oh, okay.
I can't believe it flew out of my head. Awesome band, Black Country Communion. Anything they do, I think, is fucking great.
Very cool.
We're back
with new
music for you to rock out to. Listen to our new song, Stay Free. Sure to pre-order our new album, BBCV, set to release June 14th.
Nice.
You got to stay free.
Yeah, you do.
Good rock and roll.
Very
cool.
If
you like our, by the way, and I always want to like remind everybody of this, if you like our, these new and notable things we do every week, we have our own playlist on YouTube.
Yes, we do.
Called New and Notable, and you can listen to all this stuff. Let me know if there's a band you want to check out. Actually, after Lily and I did our show last week, a bunch of stuff popped up on YouTube, and I'm gonna looking forward to sharing some more music next week for you guys. So, hey, and in the meantime, guys, check out some Pittsburgh music.
Yeah.
I hope we turned you on to some cool shit. You know, yes, it's a little bit older, but older's okay.
Sure.
You know, I mean, sure. Hey.
Good music, good music.
I'm getting older, too. So, anyways, guys, thanks for so much for hanging out with us. Don't forget to try Mama's Flapjack Juice or whatever. What did we have? Fish and Crack or crack and Chips. Fish, cracky fish traps.
What's cracking, bitch?
What's cracking, bitch? My butthole's cracking.
Yikes, sir.
So, anyways, thanks, guys, so much for hanging out. I don't know what happened with Facebook.
Yeah, it's,
I think there's something goofy going on. Three views. I don't know what's happening. Anyways, guys, we'll work this out. I'm still playing with it.
Yeah.
I want to have an awesome live show. We want to have a live band. We're looking for a drummer.
Yeah.
If you're a drummer and you can come here.
Yeah.
We're going to put some drums, a V drum kit.
Oh, the V? Yeah.
Yeah, V drum kit back there. And if you're down with that, we're just going to like start with like one song, and then maybe two songs.
Ooh,
and
build
it up a little bit. And I would like to bring guest musicians in. I'd like to bring Norm Nardini down here. I'd like to bring Joe Grushecki down here. I'd like to do some stuff where we all jam. And I do something, I'm ready to bust it up a little bit. Do something a little bit different. All right, guys, thanks so much for hanging out. Mr. Pittsburgh, do you have anything going on? Anything you think folks should check out? Do you have any... I know you're watching... what series are you watching again? Band of Brothers. Is there any movies or anything you think about maybe busting out you're going to check out?
No, but like I said, I do a lot of... I have a list of like older movies I want to get. I just haven't been able to get down to Half Price Books or...
You know what I got at Half Price Books this week?
Oh, yes?
I got on one DVD, I got... Purple Rain and Fame.
Oh, are you special? Most people only get one movie on a DVD. No, no, no. You got two. Well, look at you shoving it in my face. Well, you know what? Fuck you.
That's why I am the great Ludini.
Yeah, you are.
And I also picked up for like $4 Psycho.
The original classic. Okay, yeah.
You know what I keep hearing?
Yes.
On some lists of movies you should kind of revisit is the sequel to Psycho. Did you ever see any of the sequels? I've seen them all. I've seen there's three sequels. Anthony Perkins is in them.
Huh.
But people said Psycho 2 is worth a check.
Okay.
So I'm gonna have to bust that out and see if it's any good.
Very good.
But anyways, guys. So let us know, man. If there's anything you want us to feature, we'll happily check it out. I don't know what happened with the live tonight. I did everything I know how to do.
Yeah, it's just that. I kept checking back and
so there might have been 20 people trying. Like Jody was telling me one night, she was like trying to leave comments, and it said
you
have to approve comments. I'm like, I'm not seeing that.
Well, I commented and it didn't say anything.
And it's not even showing up. It's not showing up. It's bullshit. Right. Fuck Facebook.
Yeah. Ooh.
Face fuckbook.
Whoa.
All right, guys. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. Please visit rockrageradio.com. Download the free app.
Yes.
Please check out Build the Scene as well as Wolf's Customs. And don't forget, LudiniRockandRollCircus.com is where you find all your Ludini schnit.
Well, speaking of Jody, she made a comment that she's watching Band of Brothers too. So apparently,
she was able to see us tonight. Okay, yes. I'm glad Jin's able to see it. All right, guys, thank you so much. And we're gonna give a big Pittsburgh shout out. We love Pittsburgh.
We love it's
a
Pittsburgh.
Super fucking awesome town. It's been some great music that has come out of here in a lot of different genres.
Genres.
I'm gonna change. I'm changing it up.
Jeanries.
I'm taking back Jeanry.
Yeah, you are. Gonna put it on the back of your shirt, are you? With some white tape?
Listen to some great Pittsburgh music this week, and we'll catch everybody on the next
Lou
Dini Rock and Roll Circus.
See ya!